There's an insert in your bulletin this morning of the scripture reading from our text today. It's found in 1 Samuel chapter 17, and there's also a handout along the pews. Follow along as I read 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 1 through 11. Now the Pharisees gathered together their armies to battle, and was gathered together at Shakoch, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shaka and Azekah and Ephraim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set their battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there was went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had an helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with the coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had graves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and he had a spear's head weighed 600 shackles of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine? And ye servants to Saul, choose you a man from you, and let him come down to me. And if he be able to fight me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And when Saul and all of Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly feared. Heavenly Father, as we pray and look into the scripture today, a child's story, David and Goliath. Yet within the pages here in the verses, there's a message here for even the most senior adult among us today. As we use scripture to improve our vision, to get a better sight and understanding of the God that we serve, the God that we worship, and the God that we pray to. So Lord, use me in a humble way to speak thy words in a way of understanding that we may come away with a knowledge of the God whom we serve. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I have here a little child's record. 45 RPM. Children don't even know what they are anymore. We do. David and Goliath, and on the flip side, Daniel and the lion's den. 2 or 3 minute recording at the most of a child's story. And so we often overlook children's stories in the Bible as for them. Yet within the scriptures, there are great lessons to be learned for us adults. Our scripture reading here is taken from verses 1 through 11. There are 58 verses in this story. It's a long chapter here in 1 Samuel chapter 17. But the first 11 verses, there's no mention of David, only the Philistines and the nation of Israel and the battle that they were about to come in contact with. And so by looking at verse number 1 through 11, we can get an adult perspective of the remaining verses that a child could understand. We live in a day in just recent weeks, rampant fear wherever we go. Leaving here last Sunday, inspired from the message that was brought by our pastor, and we go home and before Monday morning's news hits, chaos in Las Vegas, mass murders. The week before that, Category 5 hurricanes. And the week before that, Category 5 hurricanes. And the week before that, Category 5 hurricanes. Floods, earthquakes in Mexico, and Rocket Man in North Korea. There's much to bring fear upon anyone in the world that we live in today. We see weapons used, we see vehicles used as weapons, poison gases. And yet most of these places have occurred far away. Each of us suddenly can be confronted before a great giant. Someone whose desire is to inflict evil, as the nation of Israel noticed with Goliath. This morning, over early, while it was still dark, over coffee, reading over the verses, I get a text message from our pastor to pray for our district superintendent, Rob Caldwell, and his wife, Mary Alice. They're out of town mourning the loss of a grandson. Tragedy can hit a family, can hit a relative, it can hit at home in many ways. We all fight giants. It could be a blood test at a doctor's, a CAT scan. And so all around us, we are bombarded with fear, and it's not uncommon to human beings, as it was in young David's day. And so what I'd like to do is go through these verses, and out of the fear and the dismay that these battle-trained Israeli army was confronted with that brought such great fear to them, there is within this fear a message of faith. Verse number one, now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle. And notice here, it's within Judea. They had invaded the nation of Israel down in the land of Judah. And they had set up a camp there. Saul and his army of Israel were gathered together, verse number two, and they pitched over in the Valley of Laugh. And there was a valley between the two. Often we think of a valley somewhat like Shenandoah Valley. You stand on one mountain ridge and see the great Shenandoah Valley to the Blue Ridge Mountains from Skyline Drive. But this was shepherd country. This was David's domain. Rolling hills, like perhaps Dinwiddie County. And so it was a mountain ridge for that type of that geographical area, a mountain, a small mountain, that Israel had their soldiers on one ridge and the Philistines on the other. And there was this valley between, not a valley wide and long because they could communicate from mountain to mountain, from peak to peak, from ridge to ridge with this valley. And verse number four, there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines, Goliath, and his height is explained here, 9 feet 9 inches. And for several verses here, the armament in detail, massive brass and iron from head to toe, across his legs, so forth and so on. I call this perhaps the first armored military vehicle. He carried a staff, a sword, with a spear on it that weighed 600 shackles of iron. And I'm not here to give a math lesson of biblical terms into metric or American weights, but it was massive. He was well equipped for battle, among his height to go along, and the massive strength to carry that armament. And they had met here, advancing one upon the other, until they came to this location in this area of ground, that there was a valley. And military circles will tell you that, from their military training, that the outcome of a battle is most often determined by the outlay of the battlefield. If you can, and this is what I like to do, I like to get myself right down there and see what Saul and his army saw. And I'd like to get over and see what the Philistines saw, what Goliath saw. And then when David approaches here in verse number 12, what David saw. Get down on the page and come with me and do just that. If either army advanced to the other to engage in battle, they were too far separated to fight each other, but yet they could communicate. If either army would proceed into the valley, the other army had the advantage. There was no way, easy way, to retreat. And the upper army had the advantage. And Israel knew this as well, that if the Philistines proceeded into the valley, though it wasn't a valley deep, it was just the landscaping, it would give them the advantage. So neither army wanted to be taken advantage of by the other side. So it was a stalemate. And each day for 39 days, they rose up, set up camp, lined the soldiers up, ridge to ridge, and Goliath would come out and harass and intensify and curse the God of Israel. Send me one man. It's senseless. An entire army go down in the valley and be lost, or another army, or we both meet in the valley and the last man standing wins. That's senseless. Let's just use one soldier. One soldier from the Philistine army. One from the Israel army. We'll go down, and the winner of those two takes all. If Israel wins, we'll leave. The land is back to you. However, if the Philistine wins, we take over the land of Judah. We win. But only one would have to die, rather than all but one. And that was a condition that was set up. And it made battle sense. It made battle sense, okay? Why lose the entire army and go home? Even to go home with one soldier to the nation of Israel and say, we won, but we lost all our army but one. An awful price to pay. Likewise, it would be much easier to go home and say, we lost one soldier and we lost the land, but our army is still intact. We saved a lot of life. This is a hard decision to be made. But what complicated it was the soldier that the Philistines were offering up was Goliath. And he was commanding, send one of your Israeli troops, soldiers, down. Still a military suicide. That was the condition of the battle. And for 39 days, you could repeat verses 1 through 11. You could have verses 1 through 11 for 39 chapters. It happened for 39 days. 39 days they met. No volunteer within the Israeli camp, willing, on a hope and a prayer, to confront this giant. Perhaps give his life for this nation. They would lose land, but spare the entire rest of the army. 39 days. Whenever you're confronted in a situation that seems to be beyond your control, you become dismayed, and you experience great fear, not knowing what to do. And so you turn to the Lord. Lord, help me. Those who went through that earthquake and floors of concrete above them and dust, you come close to the Lord, asking for help. And the nation of Israel was no different. Just a week or so ago on the news, we had the congressman that went out to play a sports game on a sports field. And an enemy of God, an enemy of the human race, began shooting and almost instantly hit him. And by his testimony before Congress, where he was able to recover and come back to appear before the House of Representatives, he mentioned he knew immediately what was going on and he had been hit. And he was completely taken to the ground. And he said, the first thing I did was I cried for help to my Lord. Did you hear the testimony on TV? And then he proceeded to say, the weeks and weeks in and out of surgery, support from the family, he felt as if he wasn't going to make it. And yet, slowly, over a long period of time, he gained his strength back through therapy and medical science and a whole lot of hopes and prayers, and walked just a week and a half back to his seat in the Congress in our nation's capital. And he gave testimony that his prayer at that moment that he was hit, that of all he went through, didn't match his prayer. He had prayed for a quick recovery, that I may live through this and serve again my country. But it was months and pains and suffering, and he gave testimony. He said, even though my prayer was answered, I went through quite an ordeal. And when I look here, I see men trained for warfare. This wasn't the first battle they had fought with the Philistines. This had been going on for an extended period of time, battle after battle. Losses on one side, losses on the other. But for 39 days, they brought in their latest enlistment officer, a champion of the Philistines. And so they were greatly feared, and they prayed for 39 days. Let me ask you, how often have you had something come in your life that was a giant, that was there to cause harm beyond your control, and you turned to God in prayer and prayed, and the next day, nothing's changed. And the second day, and the third, a month goes by, and it's as if God doesn't hear my prayers. 39 days, prayed. And on the 40th day, before they could pray, as here in verse number 11, again, dismayed all over again, and greatly feared again, up walks the answer to that prayer, little David. I'd like to offer this suggested prayer that they may have prayed for 39 days. O God of Abraham and of Isaac, the God of Israel, we ask this day for one among us to volunteer to take on this great giant. Give him the courage and the strength to confront him, and if it be thy will, slay him. But if not, that we will not suffer great loss of our nation. Amen. And up walks David. The answer to that prayer didn't look like an answer to prayer, did it? Little lad, no training in warfare, no shield armor, just a lad. Son, move away. This is not a place for you to be. How often do we ask God and pray for something to be done in our lives. And it seems like God does not hear. And then when God sends the answer to our prayer looks like this. This is my request. And God sends the answer. How often do we overlook the answer to our prayers in great times of tragedy and heart conditions and fear because we don't recognize it? That was the case here with David. David, the only thing he had was a sling and a stone, as you recall. And he had some experience with sheep. He understood landscape. He could take the sheep from this ridge to this ridge, down here, move them around, just throwing a stone. He understood landscape. He used the land to his advantage as a shepherd boy. And he used that sling to accomplish his intent. He could take care of predators that would take a life. He could take a sheep that would go off to one side and bring him back in and move around using the landscape and the snow. That's all he had. Often when we pray for God to send us a deliverance to suppress our fear and give us a victory, it doesn't come in the package we envisioned. Why is that? Because God wants us to know that when he moves, it's him moving and not one of us. David understood that. And as they prayed, seeking an answer from God, the answer comes up, the little A. What's going on? How can I help? We're told that Saul took David aside and explained to him what he would be up against. And David said, I insist. I will volunteer without any question. And if I die, I die. But this giant will not defy my God. He stood on a principle. So Saul took him aside and took some of the armor that they had in the Israeli army and coated it and said, wear this. You're going to need it, son. And David put all this garb on and realized it was awkward and it would limit his ability. He was not experienced in handling that type of armor. So he took it off. And he went before Goliath. And as Goliath moved down in that valley, David moved in the valley. But David used that valley and that giant to his advantage. As Goliath's head came lower and lower, David was getting close to his target. The nation of Israel was looking at all the armor and the brass and the iron and all of that and saw a great obstacle. But David saw a little opening and a stone he had in his hand. And he used that to his advantage. God moves in mysterious ways, does he not? That he can give us a victory when it seems impossible in human eyes. And so David approached and threw that stone. And as maybe a child might tell you, he killed a giant. But we know that that stone only startled the giant. But David knew this, that the moment that stone hit him, he just flinched. Just a stone against a mighty giant. But that movement, with all that weight, and being in a valley, not up on a hill, rabbing and cursing God, but on a little bit unsure footing, and moving like this, that armor that was to protect Goliath became his demise. Took him to the ground. That with the stone, that with the guidance of God, the faith of David, the power of God, he fell to the ground, perhaps backwards, leaning up against the bank of that valley. With all that weight, he couldn't get up. As I put myself right here, he can't get up. He's got too much weight on him. He's used to carrying the armor this way, not getting a heavy up. Just lay out here on your back and see how easy it is to get up. Put several hundred pounds of armor, perhaps, on top of you. And David went over without a sword, used Goliath's sword, and slayed the giant. And when he pulled that head up, the Philistine army retreated. And David gained the victory. God help me when I pray for those facing giants in their lives, when I face them, when you face them, that we not overlook the fact that God moves in mysterious ways. And the answer may come way down the road, a lot longer than we want it to. Jonah spent 40 days and 40 nights in the belly of the whale, praying, praying, praying. 1 or 2 days was enough. He was convinced pretty often. The nation of Israel, under the slavery of the Pharaoh in Egypt, prayed an entire generation of prayer. Send us a deliverer. No answer from God. A baby was born. A mother prayed that her son, his life would be spared, and she was willing to risk her life. That baby was spared. 40 years later, attempted to confront Pharaoh and kill one Egyptian and had him flee his own life. And spent 40 more years on the backside of the desert, now an old man. In the prime of life, he was ready to take on Pharaoh. But in his old age, God was ready for him to do it, when he was not even able to speak well. Sometimes prayer comes years and years later. But prayer does come. And the answer doesn't match the request, but it satisfies the request. I felt like when that senator spoke the other week on TV, he was using this passage of scripture. How answer a prayer does not match the request. But in the end, it worked out as you had asked. I don't watch much TV, occasionally in odd hours of the night or something, I'll flick on the History Channel and there's Oliver North. And he takes us to the battlefields of World War I, World War II, Korea, Afghanistan. And we see brave soldiers of our military going into battles with the odds against them, underpowered, undermanned, outnumbered, overcoming fear with faith, they pursued. And often the victory turned in their favor from some little mishap. Isn't that amazing? And so I would like to close with this phrase that Oliver North uses often on the History Channel. You've heard it. This is a war story that needs to be told. David and Goliath. Heavenly Father, as we stand before thee, how often we have prayed in time of turmoil and stress and fear and uncertainty, asking for an immediate deliverance to make things like they once were just a short time ago. And yet, it takes time until we come to realize that when God moves, it is not our works and efforts, but it is the one who protects us and looks over us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.